When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 26th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Brian Wu is going to start the season with elbow inflammation. Now, keep in mind, this sounds terrible, horrible. They had an MRI. It was clean. So this probably means that Brian Wu is delayed about 2 to 3 weeks. So he's probably going to miss 2 starts, maybe 3. And I would still be targeting him in my drafts. Now, talked about this with Spore this morning on the Fireside Chat, which is now a weekly podcast on our Pitchless Podcast Network. So definitely go check that out. It will be out on Wednesdays. But what I'm going to be doing in a lot of drafts, at least with my last one or two, is you can get Brian Wu or Sonny Gray or Gavin Williams, these guys that are on the IL. And actually isn't really in your benefit because that means you have an extra roster spot in the critical 2 weeks to get a lot of these really interesting guys like Puck, Hall, Lopez, Pepio, Stone, Luis Gil, Louis Varland, Jared Jones, Casey Mize, Jack Flaherty, Trevor Rogers, Reese Olson, Tanner Houck, Garrett Whitlock, a lot of these guys, right? So it's kind of interesting because then at the end of that, you'll also get Brian Wu back. So go buy in on the dip for Brian Wu. Tyler Alexander is either going to be the bulk reliever for the Rays or start the fourth game of the season, which is kind of interesting. I don't really want him for either one, but that's how the Rays are going to use Tyler Alexander. And looking at yesterday's games, let's also talk about the other guy on that squad, Jacob Wagespack, who went 2 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts, but he did really well. 40 pitches, 2 to 3 ticks harder. 43% CSW across the board, a 5 over 11 whiff changeup, 4 of 12 whiffs on cutters and curves, 18 inches of IVB on that 4-seamer. Kind of interesting for Wagespack, but it's Telex, so we move on. Kevin Gausman looked great. 3 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, 7 strikeouts. Yeah, I'm very much still buying that dip too, and I'm excited to see Gausman probably start. I mean, if not the first turn of the rotation, then the second one. But really, they should just let him start the first one at 60 pitches or so, because he was obviously great here. Marco Gonzalez, 3 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. Maybe he's worth the stream against Miami. Just going to throw that out there. His command is good and 90 miles per hour, not 88. Yeah, he's going to be at the very bottom of questionable start. And I'll have those daily sit and start articles out starting on Thursdays. Sorry, not Thursday. This Thursday, I'll be doing it with everybody early in the morning. Sean Manaea, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts. Eric Smolski has been trying to convince me that Sean Manaea is a major thing that I'm overlooking. It's very possible that I am. This was the best version I've seen of him, with 4-seamers upstairs and sweepers down low and actually having the pitch separation. But it is kind of interesting because Sean Manaea's 4-seamer's shape speaks of being thrown low, not high. He has terrible IVB, and it also has a very steep angle. So I would imagine you would want that to be a drop underneath low, but it's working here. So as long as he has pitch separation and really commanded that sweeper, then that's good. I'm still not going to lean into Sean Manaea here. Clark Schmidt, 5 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He doesn't have that refined left-handed hitter approach yet, and he's going with the Astros in his first start of the year, or going against, I should say. So I'm not in on Clark Schmidt at the moment, but he could be a Toby during the season. Garrett Whitlock, 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. We finally have data, good data, on Garrett Whitlock, and this is very interesting because it's cutter change against left-handed pitchers, batters, and sinker sweeper against right-handers. That's good. We never really knew that the cutter was going to take over for the sinker, and his changeup is effective against both sides, and he actually did throw some against righties as well. This is a good approach for Garrett Whitlock. So I'm in here. He just went 6 innings, so he's clearly going to go 6 innings more often. I obviously am a little afraid of Fenway still, but this is a good version of Garrett Whitlock, and it makes me more encouraged to believe that Whitlock can be sustainably good. So that's a phrase, right? Throughout the year, he gets the Mariners and the Angels to start the year, and that feels like a good solid play for 12-teamers. Reed Detmers, 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. We got data here, and the slider overperformed for 9 whiffs, and everything else is just not a very good weapon. I just don't want to buy in. I don't believe it. Sorry, Reed. I wish I could, but I just can't. Gavin Stone, 4.1 innings, 4 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. And I can understand taking the chance on Gavin Stone. It makes a lot of sense. In the end of the day, it's not 95-96. I got excited last time. No, we're back down to 94-95. His changeup wasn't really that well commanded in this one, actually. And it's cutter slider that is most interesting. That is glove side for Gavin Stone. That is a huge deal for him. He's throwing cutters and changeups to lefties, and sinkers and sliders to righties. That's what Garrett Whitlock just did. But it's not a very good sinker. His command on his changeup wasn't very good. There's just a lot of reasons that Gavin Stone won't work, in my view. Also throwing Dodgeritis into the whole mix as well, where they're not really going to let him go like 6 strong constantly. I feel like the Dodgers are going to be messing around with some Michael Grove, some Ryan Yarbrough, etc., with Stone, and not just say, hey, cool, every 5 days go 6 innings. It could be a Tony Gonsolin situation. The defense is generally good for the Dodgers. It's obviously good offense, so there is a higher win chance than others in other team contexts. But is he going to go long enough to get it? And is his stuff good enough? Because he's not like overwhelmingly dominating with the changeup right now. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. I don't know. It's just not really the kind of thing that I want to go for. Tyler Beede, 3.1 innings, 4 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. I'm glad he's made the roster for the Guardians, but it's 93 and not 96, and it has a splitter, and that's just not really it. Tommy Henry, 6 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. This is actually a complete game shutout because it was a rain-shortened game, which is kind of wild. And he's the 5th starter for the Diamondbacks, but we don't want this. 90 miles per hour on the heater, 4 over 36 whiffs on a secondary, as you know. Bryce Miller, 4 innings, 1 run, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. So he finally got data. And yeah, this is the Bryce Miller we know. Like, his 4-seamers are, hey, more elevated than usual, but he's still missing east-west. He had 0 over 24 whiffs on all of his secondaries. That is the splitter, the sweeper, and the slider, 0 for 24 whiffs. It's not a new man. I just can't get into this. Sorry, Bryce. I just don't think you're a good command guy. Dylan Cease, 4 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. We saw him with the Padres. That's pretty cool. It's generally standard Cease. However, Lance Brzozowski did point out he did throw some sweepers to right-handers. That's kind of cool. I also dream of him eventually throwing a cutter. I think we're going to have to wait until like May or so for him to do that, but hey, he's showing up with a new sweeper. That's pretty cool. All right, we have a lot of other games to talk about. Jordan Hicks and JP Sears are both really interesting ones. Bailey Ober, Chris Sale, and so many others. We're going to talk about all of them after this break. Jordan Hicks, 5 innings, 0 runs, 0 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. Whoa, right? This is it. This is the guy. 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. So the sweeper is legit, and what I really like about this is that it is downstairs. It was consistent. It was precise. That is, he was repeating the same things over and over, and that is very believable. The sinker was just kind of all around the zone, and was at 95. And we expected it not to be at 100, but we were hoping for like 96 or something. It was at 95. I don't know if it can have the same ICR that it had last year, because I was at 100, which is a lot harder to hit a ball that's moving. So I am a little worried about that. Not to mention the splitter and the four seamer are not reliable number three pitches. This was a game of his sweeper working really well, his sinker getting strikes inside the zone, and there's your ball game. So I don't know if that's enough to trust against the Padres lineup. They are more right-handed focused. Like, you got Machado and Tatis as your major two threats, and the sweeper should be effective against them. So there is something to think about there, but I'm probably not going to go after it. JP Sears, 3.2 innings of 200 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. And it's annoying because his 4-seamer can be so good. But if everything else is also upstairs, that is a sweeper and changeup, then batters are just going to cheat and just keep their bat upstairs the entire time. And they're not going to go down. So you got to get those secondaries low. And then the 4-seamer will absolutely thrive upstairs. He's also up a tick, which is kind of cool too. But it's also then, you know, Oakland. So fine, we don't do JP Sears now, but it's fun. And hopefully he can get there at some point with that good pitch separation. Sorry, JP Sears. Bailey Ober went 4.1 innings of 4 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. He allowed all 4 runs on 2 home runs. One was a changeup that was just blasted out of the, that was hung up and blasted. And then Marcell Ozuna saw a slow slider up in the zone that was just destroyed. But those were Riley and Ozuna. It's the spring. And he was apparently sitting like 92. So at least it's not like 90, 91. I was kind of hoping for 93, but at least it's 92. And yeah, Bailey Ober's still there. 6 strikeouts. Looked good otherwise. Chris Sale, 3 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. As long as he's not healthy, everything is cool. So that's good. Steven Matz, 4.1 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Steven Matz, I just don't want to touch you in my leagues. Jordan Wicks, 4 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Is he going to be good enough to stream against the Rockies in Wrigley? Rocky Road doesn't really exist because they haven't hit in Colorado yet, which means that their understanding of movement for pitches is different when it's in Coors because of the air, but then they leave Coors and it's worse, and that's why they're worse hitters. But they haven't played in Coors yet. Is that effect there? Then again, it's not a good lineup anyway. Do you want to stream Jordan Wicks? I'm not. Not Hicks, Wicks. And he's going to be the bottom of questionable start probably for that one too, like Marco Gonzalez. You have Dakota Hudson going 5 innings, 3 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, 2 Ks, speaking of Colorado, and we do not care. Colin Ray, 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. And Ray has his moments. He isn't the worst arm out there, but I really don't believe that Colin Ray can do it against the Mets. Maybe for your deep NL-only leagues, but that's going to be a do-not-start for me. And lastly, it's Brady Singer, who went 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. It was against their minor league team. So I'm not really going to lean into this saying, oh no, Brady Singer has totally figured it out now. Yeah, I don't actually believe that. All right, that is it for today. I am going to be updating the list on Wednesday, so look out for that one. And also, I have an article coming out later today that is the pitchers I am streaming the first week of the season. It's going to be that table that Peel Pro members have gotten, which is the first and second start for all the fringe pitchers. So that's going to be a fun one. It's going to be highlighting the guys that I'm saying, hey, look, these are the exciting ones that I'm going to be focusing on, and you should be focused on too. That is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart
Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.